Welcome to the Mostly Pod of the Night. Mostly, I'm Graveyard, joined by my co-host Salem.
Hello.
This is episode 92 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. We're getting close to the 100 there. A couple more weeks.
We're going to have like a special 100 episode?
Yes, we should do it in person with a cake.
Oh, okay. Somebody's going to have to bring a computer with microphones and everything over somewhere else.
Yeah. So anyway, you wouldn't know my girlfriend as she goes to a different school in Canada. And she has no cell phone. And I don't have pictures of her. She's totally real, right?
Does she have a pager?
No, she doesn't have a pager. All she really has is, you know, you can type to her with Morse codes. Or... But first, you got to learn it. But, you know, one might think that my girlfriend's imaginary. And friends, but they're all fun and games until the stuff bear begins to stalk you, let's face it. Or when you witness a death and an entity latches onto you, well, we'll find out that sometimes predictable world of the unseen of the imaginary friends in these movies. We are finally at imaginary friends stuff because there was delay on imaginary, I felt like, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure what they did, but nothing good.
No. So honestly, these movies are probably the closest time frame of a themed episode really done, you know, cause we had two in 2019 and one that came out in 2024. So they're all relatively newer movies, especially imaginary. So we have Z, which came out in 2019, which is the hardest movie to ever look for. I feel.
Well, most searches require at least two or three letters.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So good job making your movie hard to find. Daniel Isn't Real, which also came out in 2019. And Imaginary that came out did not last long in theaters, let's face it.
Yeah, I don't even, was it in theaters? It was pretty fast.
Yeah, pretty fast. And our olives this week are Unseen Friends, because they're all about imaginary friends. And oddly familiar, two of these I feel are very close in tone and idea. You can probably guess what those two are.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, yeah, it's the first and last in the list are very, very similar. I would say it's basically just like the last 30 minutes that kind of deviates. Otherwise, it's very similar.
It's almost identical.
Right.
To the plot. But yeah, I'll start first off with Z. Like I said, came out in 2019. And let's face it, imaginary friend stuff is no different than a haunting or poltergeist type movie where not a lot necessarily happens, just a lot of slowly moving things and stuff like that.
I wonder how the Warrens feel about imaginary friends.
They have lots of them.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if a kid has an imaginary friend, like, I wonder if they would come in and be like, oh, he's talking to a demon. Like, I'm sure they would be like, they would jump straight to that.
Oh, yeah. They would definitely have Chauncey the Bear in their museum if they could see it. I'm sure she'd find some way to see it. Like, oh, I dipped these glasses in holy water. Now I can see the evil. If I had to guess. Don't quote us on that, but trademark the idea. We don't want you to do it, the Warrens, even though you're dead. All right. So Z kind of starts off. It's like I said, it's fairly standard idea. If you think you know the imaginary friend type movie, it's kind of this for the most part. We are introduced to, you know, the 8-year-old son, and the husband and wife, and just kind of what's going on there. Like, the mom lives, so the grandma lives with daughter, and I would say in hospice, to say the least. Wouldn't you?
Catatonic.
Really?
Yeah. She's she's there. Like, she's talking. She just, one, I think she's just a very emotionally withdrawn person in general, because mm-hmm. her and her sister kind of like agreed on that. Yeah. And then two, yeah, it's like she's probably in the last days of, like, you know, whatever dementia, and then whatever else is actually like killing her, because she's not doing well. She doesn't move from the bed at all.
Right.
But she's still in her old house. But the weird thing is that they don't seem to, no one else seems to live there.
They have no in-home caretaker. It's between, right, you know, the two sisters to take care of her, and one of them just kind of just vaped out, like she's just not there.
Right. I was very confused in the beginning of this because they don't like tell you that she moves between homes.
Right.
It just like the next scene is her with her mom, and I'm like, oh, the mom's living with them? And then later on, it's like, it's very obvious that it's a different house, that they live in two different houses. And I'm like, so you're leaving her alone in the bed with dementia, and you only visit her like once a day? Like, that is not good. Like,
right.
No there, wonder she died.
Yeah. There. I mean, yeah, you're right. There's not a lot enough scene changing. Like, oh, she's walking through a house, and then she enters a doorway, and she's in her mom's room. You just assume she's in her own house because there's no driving scene, there's no walking scene,
there's nothing. No break. It's just like, yeah, she's in one room and then she's in the mom's room, and it's like, that's it. There's no like in between.
Yeah,
it's not like she called a babysitter or anything. Like, no, nothing. It's just sometimes the kid's there, sometimes the kid's not there. I don't know this whole, like I said, that there's not a whole lot of logic in this movie. No. It seems like it didn't get a logic pass in the rewrite phase.
No. So that's what's going on with her. You know, we find out how flaky her sister really is. And then her husband doesn't really tell her much like he should. And we'll get into that here. So essentially, you know, they have, their son, Joshua has a friend and his name is Z. And, you know, the typical imaginary friend's like, oh, he needs a plate too. Oh, he only drinks 2% milk, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, the kid kind of goes to, you know, school. He does say goodnight to everyone, does say goodnight Z, that comes into play later, and is indefinitely suspended because he fought with someone. And the teacher's like, oh, here's all the red cards that, you know, we gave out to your house. She's like, what? I didn't sign this. And the husband signed like what, 8 of them. And
right. And they didn't. Okay. And here's the thing, right? Like, I was like, oh, no, the kid's forging the signature.
Yeah, no.
Right, but you don't find that out until, like, 20 minutes later.
Yeah.
They don't answer that question at all until they, like, 20 minutes later, then they finally say that, oh, you had signed him. They're like, oh, he did?
Yeah. Well, the kid's getting in trouble. That was his reasoning. Like, that's a lot of red cards. And then to get to suspended indefinitely to not tell your significant other is absurd. I think. So anyway, they're kind of just going through the motions, kind of realize the husband's kind of a jerk for not telling her stuff. And they immediately next day reward the kid by being suspended by going to a play zone, essentially.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, okay. I think us growing up, our asses have been beat, but you know, that reward the kid for getting the fights. So essentially, you know, we see, you know, the play zone, and he starts kind of like feigning that he is being attacked. And the mom sees this demonic entity-ish type thing in the play area. And she's like, oh, no, he's hurt. He's not breathing. Look, oh, no, haha, it's a joke. So anyway, that's kind of going on there. And, you know, she starts seeing spooky stuff of, you know, toys looking like eyeballs in the, you know, when the light's off and kind of reflecting the light, and some of that moments of like the typical paranormal type stuff where you like the light switch is always like, oh, something's going to show up. Something's going to show up. No, it's just a toy. Yeah. And they're just kind of going through it, and they're like realizing that his acting is a little bit more and more bizarre. Like he's having more demands and kind of saying weird things, kind of withdrawing within himself, and only Z at this point in time. So anyway, they kind of go to a friend's house, like, yeah, sorry, I haven't been talking to you for a while. And like, oh, the kids are playing upstairs. You only hear one kid and boom, the kid got Corey'd from Halloween Ends almost.
Right. Well, yeah. Like the kid was upstairs for like maybe 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. And then boom, kid just comes crashing down like 1.5 stories downstairs, which you would not think would survive, but does.
Oh, you know, kids like, are flexible. They're fine.
Yeah. But yeah, so kid gets taken away. We kind of hear things you know, what's been on your son's crazy. I'm never talking to you again. And yeah, rightfully so. But yeah, you know, they're accusing him of, you know, obviously throwing the kid down, Omen style. He's like, no, it was just Z or whatever. So anyway, you know, she starts talking to her, her childhood psychiatrist, right? About her son.
Right.
And without they don't say
that it was hers. They just say it was a doctor that had seen him before.
Yeah.
They don't say anything about her being his patient until much later.
I'm just, yeah, tightening up that thread right now.
Oh, yeah. No, it makes more sense if you actually say it. Now, I'm just stressing that they didn't say anything. Like, why the doctor wouldn't say anything, I don't know.
It takes, like, 30 minutes for him to say something.
Right. It's not like he went, oh, hello, good to see you again. Yeah. No, he didn't say anything like that. He was just, like, acting like a person that had never met them before on purpose. Like I said, this movie did not get a logic pass at
all. No. So anyway, she gets meds and she crushes it up into his milk, and you know they're playing floor is lava and Z's upstairs and like, oh, he can't see me, blah blah blah. And eventually he's like, oh, I shouldn't drink this milk. Z said not to drink it because she did crush up pills, and he starts to be okay-esque, I would say. But once again, spouse not telling the other spouse what the hell they're doing, and eventually the husband's like, you were drugging him and you didn't tell me. Well, you held the red cards. I think drugging your kid and withholding red cards are two very different things.
Well, this movie does not explain a lot of things that I think really need to be explained.
Yeah.
There's a several scenes of the dad just straight out saying kids should not be medicated, which means I'm guessing that he has very strong beliefs that children should never be medicated for any reason ever.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just like her pushing past his rule that he had set down.
Right.
Again, when he said that previously, it wasn't in relation to like anything normal. It was just like he said, no, you should never, ever give drugs to a kid ever.
Right.
So like it seemed to be like one of his like rules. I don't know. They didn't have a very healthy relationship.
No, this movie should have been Callback, the movie where they set something up 20 minutes ago and they finally paid off, which would made more sense 20 minutes ago.
Right. But they have to like stretch the script to make it so that it's a reveal 20 minutes later. Like they have to purposely like avoid dance around what they should be saying so that it pays off later. It's very bizarre.
Yeah, it really is. So he finds out because the kid just pukes everywhere and continues to puke, and you know, find out because she calls the doctor like, what the hell is he on? Oh man, you told it, you know, I don't trust this, blah blah blah. So anyway, she eventually goes out, you know, her mom dies like the next day, and then she goes to see her psychiatrist and just talking to him, and she's like, yeah, that's weird, we should talk more. Oh, and then the sister going through the mom's dead house. Look, I found this junk box. I'm going to start watching. Oh, look, here's a Polaroid. Tee hee hee. And by the way, here's a VHS. And watch the VHS. And it's her as a little kid going, hey, you know, I think she says, like, goodnight, Z. Or goodbye, Z.
It's just the mom comes in like, come on, it's time for dinner. She's like, I don't want to eat dinner. And she's like, no, you got to eat dinner. Come on. And she's like, okay, fine. Come on, Z.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, Z was her imaginary friend, too, because she clearly forgot that. And she does the next logical sense is burn the evil VHS tape, because that's the issue.
Right. Yeah. Burn the VHS. The only thing that could, like, show other people that, yes, these things are linked and you're not insane.
Yeah.
Great plan.
Yeah. But anyway, she goes out and she's talking to, the psychiatrist. And it's like he finds out, like, oh, yeah, I knew this entire time. Z was your imaginary friend, too. And then, you know, the dad gets killed by Z, and then a fire starts from the hanging light in the hallway somehow. We don't know how. We just know it.
Right.
I'm sorry. I should also point out that he painted a black demonic figure on his wall at some point in time, too, which is Z. So, yeah, mother's dead. Husband's dead. Mother's going crazy. What does she do? She goes, you know what? You can have me, Z. here, Joshua, go stay at your aunt's house. I'm going to go play pretend with Z, and he'll leave you alone. And then she becomes essentially, you know, a plaything of Z and playing all the childhood games that she had and is living in this dream world with Z, like, oh, floor is lava. Oh, I'm marrying you, Z. You know, we want to have my kids, blah, blah, blah. And then, yeah, she calls the sisters, like, oh, you know, Joshua's here. Oh, wait, no, he's in. He's playing on the train tracks. Let me go run to get him. All the while, police end up coming to her mother's house and psychiatrist trying to burst on the door. She's like, oh, I know how to fix this, because she has a flashback of her dad hanging himself in their house, which was never alluded to.
No. And again,
yeah,
kind of leading up to this point, they made it like, because I think me and you were talking about this earlier, like they show her burning the tape, which makes absolutely zero logical sense at that time.
Right.
And in my mind, I was like, okay, she burned the tape, I'm guessing, because somehow it's going to like give her away. Like something bad happened when she was a kid. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't want anybody to know that this Z is the same Z that, like, I guessed killed her dad.
Right.
That was like my guess, because they said that the dad was dead, but there was zero information, which in horror movies right. usually means somehow that's going to come back, you know, and somebody's going to be involved or something.
But no, he hung himself.
Yeah.
And she's like, all right, the thing I need to do to save my son is to hang myself, because, you know, because she can get rid of Z, which I think would upset Z a little bit more. But Z does get angry. He does leave. So she hangs herself. Survives, and the kid isn't run over by the train because he finally hears the aunt. And then we cut to dinner, and she is catatonic and alive. And as the son's saying, you know, good night to whoever, you know, including daddy, good night, Z. The end.
But earlier, he did insist on saying good night to his dead animal.
That's true.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that Z's back.
Yeah. I'll say my first thought. I did watch Imaginary first, and then I watch this. I go, oh, so this is where Imaginary got it from. was this movie? It's very typical haunting / imaginary friend, because, you know, you think Paranormal Activity, you know, Toby the demon and a ghost. Is also Z. It's a weird movie, and I know you have first thoughts and highlights low points, but it does go off the rails a bit towards the end. We'll get more into that later. But yeah, just not that interesting of a movie overall, I think. What were your first thoughts?
Yeah, it was basically, you know, the same kind of, like, you know, generic schlocky, you know, horror movie with an imaginary friend or, you know, a ghost, whatever. Yeah. It's all the same shit. It was like the same script. It was like, you know, script one.
Right.
Up until about 30 minutes towards the end, and then it just takes this bizarre turn for no reason. I think the whole movie suffers from serious logic flaws, but that's a lot of movies. So I'm not going to call this movie out specifically, although it does have some pretty glaring logical fallacies here, like, what the hell are you thinking?
Yep.
But yeah, it's pretty generic for about the first hour, and then the last 30 minutes, it's like, I don't know if they tried to do something different. Whatever they did, it failed. I don't know what the hell happened, but the last 30 minutes is like painful to watch.
It's like Stockholm Syndrome,
right?
Movie.
Yeah, like I don't understand, because they. I mean, I guess we'll get into this later, but I'll just say it now, is that we only see Z like three times.
Mm-hmm.
And all three times are in very, very fast passing.
Yes.
Now, like, even at the end, that last 30 minutes, we don't see him at all.
No,
like,
we see
the one time he's standing in the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only time that we see him at all. I kind of think in the original script that he was supposed to be there the whole time. And they, like, ran out of budget to do that, is what I really think happened. But also, it's like he can interact with the world around him.
Yep.
Move things, break things, do things. Like, okay, if she hung herself, why didn't Z just pull her down?
if that's his ultimate goal, yeah, to have right. her.
Like, yes. he would be watching her do it. Why didn't he just slap her? Why didn't he pull the rope out of her hand? Like, what? Did he just stand there and watch it happen?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Because, again, they show him, like, teleporting all over the place. So it's not like he had to, like, physically move between the child and her.
Oh, no, we'll definitely get to that in low points. Don't worry.
Yeah, but again, most of these movies do this shit all the time where they, like, you know, things are magically in one place.
Yeah. I'll go into my highlights. I like the mom. I liked her. She's always that, like, weird character that's in other things. Like, oh, I recognize her. You know, if you think of supernatural sci-fi Canadian TV shows, she's in it. Battlestar Galactica, she was in Supernatural. She was in Eureka. She was in The Librarians. She was in, I think, The Magicians as well. Yeah, so anything, if you ever watch sci-fi in the mid-2000s to 2015, you've seen her. But I do like her. And I will give the movie some credit because it stopped making the kid the focal point at that 30-minute mark, and that was fine.
It's fine. It doesn't make any sense.
No.
It's like the whole first hour is focusing on that kid and her trying to save the kid, and then all of a sudden, kid saved. And then we're just like watching her live out this weird fantasy life. It's like she's not even trying to find a way out.
No.
It's very bizarre.
That's pretty much for my highlights. How about you?
Yeah, this movie, there's not many. But I will say that the kid falling down the stairs was legitimately hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it took me by surprise. Like, I actually had a drink in my mouth. I almost spit it out, but I luckily just got a snort in there instead. But it was legitimately hilarious. I don't know why. It was like the kid was upstairs for like not even 30 seconds, and the kid just was flying down the stairs.
Which we never see. So there's never an actor actually hired to do it.
Right. Yeah. It's just like, bam. And they just show the kid. It was very funny. And then the ending, it's a bad ending. I think it's just depressing. I guess I like that it ended.
Yeah.
But it was just like a bizarrely depressing ending. Like, you know that sister is not stable enough to be able to handle it.
Her catatonic sister and 8-year-old kid?
Or no. Catatonic sister and a kid that's like insane.
Yeah, there's no way.
There's no way. I mean, she couldn't handle her mom dying before. There's no fucking way that she's going to handle that. That's the most depressing part of it. It's like, yeah, she's going to try to hold it together for like a minute, and then she's just going to give up. And that's, yeah. And I don't blame her. I mean, I'm not saying that it's her fault in any way. I'm just saying that's just depressing. It's going to end up badly for everybody.
Yeah. You want to roll into your low points then?
Sure. I kind of gave up looking over logical flaws after a while because it was just, they were so blatantly like just open and hurting me. Anyway, the shrink looks like a child murderer.
Oh, absolutely.
Dude, that guy, I would not let my child alone with that dude for sure. I mean, he's like, I don't know, like just the way he's dressed, like the way his facial hair is like all over the place. Like he just looks unhinged. Like, yeah, I know he's like talking like he's like a shrink, but like, dude, no way would I leave a child with that dude. He looks like a psychopath.
He looks like a combination of the crazy guy from Tusk meets Carl from the Conjuring universe. No, the Insidious universe. The old guy.
Right.
Yeah. And he acts like Donald Pleasance as Dr. Loomis.
Yeah, no, yeah, he's definitely got, you know, Donald Pleasance vibes of just being a horrible child psychologist. Yeah, and then again, like burning the tape, like I was like literally saying out loud, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you burning the only evidence you have? Because then she went and told her sister, and her sister's like, okay. Oh, if only you had some evidence to show her, you idiot.
Yeah, the tape. It's not like anything evil is coming out of the tape.
No, it was just her saying that, and then she burned it. Why? I was like, that felt to me like a plot thread of like, oh, something bad happened. She didn't want to attach herself to that bad thing.
Right.
That I would get that. No, that's not what it was. Nope. Burned it for no reason. I don't know if that was an abandoned plot thread or what. I don't know.
That maybe it came out of the tape, as things typically do.
Okay. And I will also say this. Like older married women, when they're about to masturbate, get in the tub, they light some candles, they turn down the lights. I'm like, she's trying to imagine this imaginary friend. Why is she masturbating while she's doing it? What the fuck is going on? Like, what is she trying to imagine?
Yes,
it was the most bizarre scene.
Yes.
Like, you're trying to imagine a child's imaginary friend, like, romantically seducing it? Like, what the hell are you doing? Oh, it was so weird. I'm, like, just cringing. Like, what is going on? Yeah. I mean, the child acting is fucking horrible in this movie. Like, the kid is supposed to be, like, dangerous and evil, and he just, like, you know, he's like the little polite little kid. Like, he never does anything bad.
No.
I don't know. It did, and he sucked. Again, yeah, the last 30 minutes just take that turn where you're like, what are you doing? Like, you're not going to try to escape. You're not going to try to, like, find a way out. You're not even going to, like, interact with this fucking thing.
Nope.
I mean, you're just going to be its fucking slave. Like, it's essentially what she's doing. Like, this is your way out. This is your fix. Like, she, like, you got to watch the kid. I'm going to go fix this. And her fixing it is just hanging out with it for days, for however long. And again, I know we talked about this earlier, but like, her mother just died. Her husband just died. Her house just burned down.
Yep.
People are going to be around. You have to answer for this stuff. You're probably, you know, you got like insurance adjusters and shit. Like, there's people that want to talk to you that will be around you all that time. You can't just disappear.
Right.
And it's, again, if they showed her going to some mystery location that nobody knows where she is, that's fine. No, she went to her mom's house. Like, of course people are going to know you're there. Like, the only person who ever comes to try to look at her is the shrink. I don't think so.
Yep.
Just ridiculous. Again, just huge logic things here. And then the last thing, and I'll stop ranting. again, they show Z like three times. One time in the romantic bath, one time hiding in the corner, and then one time we get a flash of it like crawling behind the kid in the fucking Chuck E. Cheese play zone or whatever the hell it was.
Yes.
And that's it. And then, like, you know, the big finale and shit like that. Nope, we don't see it at all. That's why I see, like, I think they just ran out of money. Like, I think it was supposed to be around a lot more. I think the whole end 30 minutes was supposed to be a CGI Z there the whole time. And I think they just ran out of money, so they just had to, like, you know, have things move when the camera's not looking. It's like a trick to get out of it because they ran out of money.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm done ranting now.
Okay. No one ever needs to see anyone throw up, ever. Like, that disturbs me greatly.
Every movie has a puke scene. You know that.
Let's face it, their marriage was horrendous at best.
Yeah, like, again.
Each constantly doing shit, not telling the other. Like, I think my wife would murder me if our kid got suspended indefinitely and I just signed the stuff and didn't say anything.
I'm pretty sure that's like, that would have been a divorce if they didn't have a child.
Yeah.
And I think, like, both of them just feel too bad about the kid to leave.
That's right.
That's what I think it is.
The teleportation of Z. Oh, he's in this house. He's able to smash a phone to pieces, break through a door, and he immediately is who knows how far away. Like, you think, okay, he's next door type thing.
Right.
He's able to teleport that quickly, which is absurd.
Well, I said all these movies do this, you know, if like, oh, it's already a supernatural entity, so let's just give it all supernatural powers.
Yeah.
Like, what was, oh, the Boogeyman that we just watched.
Yep.
Where it was like teleporting between houses. Like, okay, how can you beat something that can teleport away? Like, if you're doing goofy shit, why does it just teleport to another house and wait till you're done?
Right. The more people need to follow the it follows rule that actually takes time.
Right.
To exactly. Get places. You know, let's face it. Okay, so the kid's 8. I have an 8-year-old. Do I still have the speaking spell baby toys that exist? No. Like, every toy that they're, that Z was interacting with was like, hit this letter, just say the letter. Like, no. Like, these are all, like, baby toys. And I get baby toys have more batteries, things that can go off, they can seem creepy. And I get that for atmospheric stuff, but your kid's 8.
Okay, now, again, here's where it gets confusing. She found that speak and spell at her mom's house. Because it was when her and her sister were cleaning out the mom's house. But because the cuts are so bad, you don't know where they are. Don't know where they are or what they're doing. She found that in the mom's basement. I mean, like a grandma that has dementia, holding on to shit for years. Easily explainable. But it just goes to show you how bad the cuts are. You never know where she is or what's going on in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, and just...
Because then that speak and spell teleports to her house.
Yeah.
Like, that she doesn't take it with her.
Nope.
Just there.
And breathing in that good old plastic fumes of a burning VHS tape. Holy crap. You're like, you're standing, like, above the fire. When you burn plastic, it's bad.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. It was a completely pointless scene. And I don't know what the fuck they were, like, the people that were thinking making this movie.
Well, maybe Z came out of the tape or was in the tape and she burned it. Like, it was reaching for, like, it was moving independently of what was there. That I can see burning the tape, because that's what you do. You burn the tape, you burn the book, you burn anything that deals with something coming out of it. But no.
Right, but that was, it wasn't, yeah, it was, all she had was that one little thing where she said, come on, Z. That was it. And, like, and there was the only evidence that she had, and she immediately burned it.
Yes. Also, 50 candles is excessive for a bath.
You know, when you're an older married lady and you want to get down,
it's a lot of candles.
You find candles all over the place.
That's what I got. All right. So, number of unseen friends out of 10. Is this the worst movie we've ever seen? No. Is it better than The Conjuring World? Yes.
Okay.
But, granted, it's not hard. Still, though, not, you know, rewatchable in the least, but I have no desire to watch this movie ever again. I will give it, I'll give it a very nice 3 unseen friends out of 10. How about you?
Yeah, I'll go 1.75. Yeah. Did not care for it.
No, never gonna watch again. I'm gonna try to purge it from my memory.
Correct.
All right. Well, why don't you take us through, I'm gonna call it right now, arguably the best movie of this episode, Daniel Isn't Real.
And again, like, going into this movie, I was like, oh, this is going to be the worst one. I know it is. Because, like, you know, the two main actors are both nepotism hires, right?
Yep.
We have Miles Robbins, who's the son of Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon. And then we have Patrick Schwarzenegger, who, you know, obviously is the son of Arnold. Yep. And I was like, yeah, okay, these are the two best. Yeah, this movie's going to suck. And I was pleasantly surprised. Anyway, so Daniel Isn't Real basically starts off as the main character guy is, I forgot his name. Do you remember his name?
Crap, no.
I don't remember his name. I remember Daniel's name. I don't remember his name. Anyway, doesn't matter. So he is a little kid, and he, you know, has an imaginary
friend. Luke,
that's right. Yeah, good job. So he's got an imaginary friend. And you know, like, as all of these movies do, you know, goofy bad things start happening. He blames the imaginary friend. The mom makes him lock the imaginary friend away in, like, this old dollhouse that somehow has a key lock. He forces Daniel to get in. They lock it. He's now sealed in there. We fast forward 20 years?
Well, maybe remember, he does see someone that the shooting spree at the coffee shop.
Right. Well, yeah, that's how Daniel, whatever. Yeah. He first sees Daniel after there's, like, a mass shooting at a coffee shop.
And like, he does try to poison the mom with, like, all of her psychotic pills at once.
Right. Yeah, so it's basically blaming, you know, Daniel made me do it. So she's like, okay, lock Daniel away, no more Daniel. So we fast forward like what, 15 years. He's like 20. He's like early college age.
Yeah.
And anyway, and he's in college and he's living his own life. And his mom has essentially like lost her fucking mind. She's like way out there. She's like trying to find like patterns in books and cutting pages out and taping them all over the walls and making patterns out of them and stuff. Like, she's like clearly not all there.
Yeah. Her pills are not working anymore.
Right. Yeah. So he kind of comes home because he's, you know, worried about her because she's saying all kinds of weird stuff. So he comes home to visit her and she's just kind of like all over the place. And she basically is a bit unhinged, you know, like, but he's like trying to like keep his eye on her. But anyway, he's home. And so he's screwing around. He's like, oh yeah, I remember, you know, this old house and I locked my old imaginary friend in there. I wonder what would happen if I unlock it now. He unlocks it. Daniel comes out also fully grown.
Yep.
But now Daniel seems like nice and he's helping him out. He has an incident with his mom where the mom's like freaking out and she's going to like stab herself. And then he like tells her like, you know, put the scissors through your own throat. And then he does. And then she like freaks out and stops.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, okay, well he's helping me out now. So she goes off to the hospital, to be seen in one scene later and then no longer for the rest of the movie. So he's got the whole house to himself now and he just stays there, I guess, to like, whatever, take care of the house, unknown. But he stays there. He kind of literally runs into this one girl who he kind of sort of has a crush on. And Daniel is essentially coaching him how to like win her over. And everything that he says and everything that he tells him to do is like working like gangbusters, right? Like, she's like immediately more interested in him because he's saying the things Daniel is telling him to say. Because he's doing the things that Daniel is telling him to do, she's like way more interested and wants to talk to him some more, blah, blah, blah. So they, you know, hook up and they become an item. She's like an artist. She's, you know, got like a gallery kind of thing. And anyway, so they kind of, there's other scenes later, but I'll just kind of tie it up now, is that basically they get together. She paints him and she sees like this dark shadow that she paints in the painting, which is kind of sort of interesting, but, you know, whatever. They're like a kind of a sort of an item at this point in time. Anyway, he goes back to college. He goes to like a college party. Again, Daniel is telling him what to do, what to say. You know, he's getting all drunk and messed up. You know, I don't know what, some kind of drugs, whatever the hell he's taking. Kind of, you know, meets this one girl, and because he's doing everything Daniel tells him to do, she just like, you know, falls for him, right? She's just like very interested. Later on they go to his dorm room. I guess she brings a friend like for his roommate, and then they decide to go explore the steam tunnels underneath the school.
As you do,
right? So the roommate and the other girl go running off down the hallway, and then Luke and this other girl are like, you know, down in this, I don't, it looks like they're talking like it's a restaurant underground. It's got like tables and stuff. I don't know what it's supposed to be, but it's like a lounge looking. And she's like all into it. And he keeps telling her like, kiss her, you know, look, she's like, she's open, you know, she's like, she wants it. Just kiss her. And he's like, I don't want to. And he's like, oh, what, you got a crush on the other girl? And he's like, just let me take over. Let me do it. And he's like, okay. So he lets him take over. There's like a bizarre kind of like merging scene.
Cronenberg-esque.
Yeah, right. Yeah, where they like kind of like peel each other apart. But then they basically switch places to where Daniel now has control of the body and Luke is the imaginary friend.
Right.
So Daniel like, you know, aggressively gets it on with this girl. But at that time, she was into it. And then, you know, they finish up. The roommates come back in. The one roommate says something not even really bad, you know, just like a teasing comment. And Daniel just like loses his mind and starts beating the crap out of this guy and like burning his face on the steam pipes. Yep. And so they're all like, whoa, you know, like this, this needs to stop. Like, let's get the hell out of here. This guy's crazy. So they all leave. Luke gets the body back and he goes to try to apologize to her. She's like having none of it. She maces him, you know, it's like, it's bad. So at this point he's like, okay, like you can't take over my body anymore. Like, you're bad. At this point, Daniel just getting angry. Now he's kind of showing his true self. So he's like, now he's trying to like deliberately sabotage Luke. Like he's angry, like, yo, you're not going to give me what I want. You know, now, you know, this is what I'm do. I guide you. If you're not going to let me guide you, then I'm going to destroy you.
Oh, yeah. He's purposely trying to fuck with him.
Right. So, yeah, essentially, constantly. Like, yeah, when he's asleep, he's like taking over his body and sending messages to people. He's like sending weird, like nude messages to his like girlfriend. And like, there's just a bunch of stuff to like try to like sabotage. So he's like, okay, well, you know, I got to try to do something. So he goes to his school psychologist who made an appearance earlier in the movie, but goes to the school psychologist, tells him the whole story. And he's like, okay, well, you know, Daniel is a part of your own mind. Like you need to like, you know, figure out what, you know, happened in your mind to cause this kind of, you know, separation, and you need to deal with that trauma and you need, so you can heal. He's like, okay. So he goes into hypnosis and he like, for some reason brings his dagger and he's like, oh yeah, when you're in hypnosis and you see him just stabbing with his dagger, he'll go away. Bizarre. I've never heard anything like
and
that.
Let me be part of this and experience it with you too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He's there. It's a damn bizarrely out of place scene, but and he's like, okay. So he hypnotizes him. He goes into his brain and he essentially figures out that Daniel is not just his imaginary friend. He is a entity that is like centuries, maybe even millennia old, that has attached itself to many other people over time. One of which, well, we get to this a little bit later. We'll just say it now for completion's sake. He finds out that the guy that did the mass shooting at the coffee shop was also taken over by Daniel, and Daniel forced him to do that and may have even been in control at that time. We don't know.
Right.
But when he goes to talk to the dad of that guy, he gets proof that Daniel, because he looks exactly how he did in his like hypnosis vision. He's like this deformed guy with like this weird half crown thing. It's the same picture that he sees in his mind and the same picture that he drew as a kid of this entity that is Daniel. So he realizes that, okay, it's not just an imaginary friend. This is like some kind of entity that is attached to me. Anyway, Daniel ends up kind of taking over and killing the psychiatrist. So now he's like on the run, but Daniel takes over completely as of this time. He goes and gets his like fancy suit and then goes beeline straight to like his girlfriend's house because, you know, he wants to make Luke he's
punching him
hurt.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So he goes there. He like tries to like, you know, seduce and pretend like nothing's wrong, but she immediately sees through it. And she figures out, because he was trying to tell her about what was happening earlier and she just wasn't totally getting it, but she seems to be open-minded. And at this point she kind of figures out what's going on, that there's like two people, like maybe split personalities or something. She doesn't know, but something is wrong. That the Luke that she loves is not there. It's someone else.
Right. So, and he's wearing like the classic red suit that was depicted.
Right. Right. Yeah. So she knows something's wrong anyway. So she's trying to like, just play along a bit to try to figure out what's going on. We switch back to Luke, who is inside of his like mind prison which is like a big house thing where we see like all these items, which seem to be like mementos from the things that he's done. We see the shotgun from the coffee shop shooting. You see the dagger from the psychiatrist he just killed. There's all kinds of weapons and other shit around, you're assuming, from other times he's done horrible shit. And these are like how he remembers it. There's like a weird, you know, misshapen monster guy chasing him around. He ends up taking the dagger out of the case and stabbing the guy with it. And before he finds out, this was the guy that was the coffee shop shooter guy. But this was because Daniel took over and did the shooting. This was like he was trapped in that.
Yep.
So when he dies, Daniel was in control. So he was still trapped in this mind prison. So when he got stabbed, I guess it was kind of good because at least he gets released. But he didn't actually get to like tell him what was going on. But whatever, he figured it out anyway. So then he figures out that, where this wall is, where this void is, this is how to get out.
Right.
So she, his girlfriend is like trying to open up his mind or whatever, and like knocks a couple of bricks loose from the wall. So he knows where it is. So he pushes them open, and ends up getting out, and he doesn't get back into the body. He just gets back into his like imaginary friend zone. And anyway, they have like an epic kind of duel.
Somewhere imaginary like friend where the regular items become swords.
Right. Yeah. They showed it as when they were kids, when they were like dueling with brooms, it was swords. So then he picks up a broom, it becomes a sword, and they fight each other and essentially, kill each other. So, like, they both kind of jump off the roof at the same time, and end up falling and dying at the same time. And you're thinking, oh, maybe he'll live, you know, because, maybe there's a good ending. Nope. He did that.
He did.
So we see his girlfriend like crying over his just like splatted dead body.
The end.
Yes. So, I mean, what were your first thoughts on this? I know you said you weren't expecting to like it.
No, but I wasn't. Like, just looking at the cast, this was just me looking at it before I watched it, because I obviously had never seen it. And I was like, right. Oh, wow, two nepotism hires are the two main characters. Like, this is going to be terrible. And I was, again, I was very pleasantly surprised. They did, like, everybody in this movie, I think, did a really good job. I mean, everybody was great. Yeah. All the performances were top notch. I mean, like the cinematography, the visuals, everything was just really good, just surprisingly good. Like, it was one of those movies that I expected to, like, you know, get up, go get another drink, go take a break, you know, go do something else. And it was like the whole movie went by and I didn't even get up. Like, I just watched it from beginning to end. Like, it very rarely happens with a lot of these movies. But yeah, no, I was very pleasantly surprised. It was very, very well done.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, it. Sometimes I watch movies with the wife. Sometimes, you know, I don't. And you know, I went just different room, just be able to watch it without interruptions because I was so enthralled by it. I'm like, all right, I need to be separate and watch this. And she came in at one point. She goes, "How is this movie?" I'm like, "I don't want you to watch any point right now. You need to see this for yourself." I'm like, "You need to watch this movie. It's that good." You know, and I think she would thoroughly enjoy it, because you know she did watch Imaginary with me, but she had no desire to continue watching Z with me.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
But no, like I said, it's for me just to say, hey, you need to see this movie. I think speaks a lot to the movie itself. You know, so yeah, we'll get into that. But what are your highlights?
Highlights. Let's say, I mean, you know, one, I mean, obviously the, I think the acting was great. I want to say like his mom, Mary Stuart Masterson, was like really, really good. Like she played that insanity like perfectly. And she wasn't in a lot of the movie, but she was, I mean, that was, I mean, award winning, I would say. Like, yes. That was an amazing, amazing performance. But yeah, everybody else did great. Like I said, that wasn't usually, there's like at least one person that just kind of phones it in. But no, this one is like everybody gave it their all and it was really, really good. The shotgun, the coffee shop was messed up. Like, that's like how the movie opened. You know, it's like some barista like making cappuccinos and all of a sudden some dude comes in, boom, boom, boom. It's jarring, but it was just kind of grabs you. Like, that's how the movie starts.
Yeah.
So it just like starts and just starts running from there. And it's great. I really like those Cronenberg mergey stretchy effects that they had.
Yeah.
I thought those were good. I mean, the effects in general were pretty great. There wasn't a whole lot, you know, but right. It was pretty good. It was pretty great. And there was also a Hieronymus Bosch painting in the movie. I do love Hieronymus Bosch. Do you know who Hieronymus Bosch is?
No.
He's an old like medieval artist, and he was known for like his have you ever seen one of those paintings where it's like a scene where there's all kinds of like little people doing all kinds of weird crazy stuff?
Yeah,
that's probably a Hieronymus Bosch painting. That's like the kind of stuff that he painted. It was his painting. I think it was called the Garden of Desire or something like that. Well, anyway, it's a slightly modified version of that, because they show like that king guy with his crown head.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't actually in the real painting. It's just like a weird looking little fat dude. But right. Like they just modified that slightly. But the rest of the painting is exactly how it's presented. And it's you don't see Hieronymus Bosch a lot, so I thought that was pretty cool. I got a friend of mine who's a really big fan, so he kind of turned me on a long time ago, and I can spot him now pretty easily. So that was fun. But what about you?
Oh yeah, the acting of this was phenomenal. Like, you know, you're talking about the mom. She would give Toni Collette a run for her money. Like her, you know, Toni Collette in Hereditary, she did that good of an unhinged job in the few scenes she was actually in this movie. You know, like I said, you don't know how Schwarzenegger's son is really going to be. You don't know how, you know, Tim Robbins' sons are going to be, and they did it perfectly. I think the girlfriend who was one of the, you know, hunters from Loki was phenomenal. Like, everyone did great in this movie. Yeah, you start off with a jarring beginning. You start off with a very shocking ending, an unexpected ending. Like, oh, he's going to live. Yeah, no, there's too much blood everywhere. Yeah. I feel like, you know, the emotion when he was like screaming at him. You know, when Danny was screaming at him, it's like just perfectly, like, you know, is leading to the point was, is he schizophrenic? He doesn't really know. Stuff like that. Like, you know, at one point they have a scene where he takes pills thinking that's going to get rid of him. He, you know, Daniel pretends to die. Nope, he's not dead. And you're right, you know, because he talks about like the switching of the faces, and he tries crawling into his mouth multiple times to just kind of take over his body. And, you know, will you say it's a bad ending? Like, do you think Daniel's still alive? My guess is no. My guess is Daniel is still alive. Because he's that old of an entity. I guarantee he survives that.
Well, yeah, again, because, like I said, at the end, when you find out that the dude who committed that mass murder was still in the mine prison, meaning that, yeah, Daniel was in control when he got killed. But Daniel survived that.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he survived the fall.
Yeah. It's just a possession imaginary friend that is actually doing something to you. I think that was all fantastic and good. I think Daniel's still alive, though. I think the evil doesn't. I think evil won. Quite honestly. He doesn't care if someone dies. His host dies, clearly. Or he wouldn't do all the stuff to drive him that insane. You know what I mean? I'm sure he drives him to the point of insanity and gets the thrill of getting them killed and just adds them to his collection of his own mind at that point. So, I'll roll into my low points. I don't know what kind of hypnotherapist tries to go into your thoughts with you. I mean, it was an interesting thing, but I don't think that's... He's like essentially like, hey, I'm going to go under with you as well. Like, I don't think so.
Yeah, like, that's not how this works.
I mean, it sure it does. It happened in Exorcist 2.
Oh, well, yeah. and bad movies that don't understand what they're doing, sure.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And... I'm sorry. I don't think Daniel would have been able to be locked up in the dollhouse. I think it would make sense that he was driving his mother insane and he came back and then he got attached back to him.
Well, here's what I think it is. You ready?
Yeah.
Daniel is like a forever being, right? As we've stated, he's like millennia old. But I think because he got killed in that body, I think he didn't die, but he got severely weakened. That's why he appeared as a child.
Mm.
Now, I think because he was so weak as a child, he had no choice but to listen because he was not stronger than Luke at that time. Now, when he was older and Luke tried making him go back in there, he just like laughed and said no, because he was his full strength at that time. So right. I think that's why, is because at that time he was weak from being killed and Luke was, you know, stronger than him. So he could force him in there because he wasn't powerful enough to take over his body at that time. And as an adult, because he was, you know, gaining strength that whole time, and because he knew how to manipulate him into giving him even more strength and more control, I think he was far too strong for him to do that later on. I had that same thought though.
Yeah, he wouldn't be trapped by a dollhouse door. Sorry.
As an adult, no. I think he was just trapped in that mind prison because Luke was strong at that time, and it would take him to open it again for him to get that strength back.
That makes sense. Yeah. I like that. But those are my low points. How about you?
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that shrink thing. I don't know what was happening with that magic hypnosis. I'm like, that's the only scene really in the whole movie where you're like, what? What is this? Why is this here? This is so weirdly out of place. I guess it's, you know, it's just a way to like give you more information, because otherwise, how are you going to find out about Daniel? What he's going to tell you himself? Like, why would you believe anything he says? Right?
Right.
He's like an evil thing. So yeah, I guess that's why they did it. But it's just kind of a bizarrely out of place scene. That, and there's the one scene where he was like, Daniel was with the girlfriend and he was like, oh, you know, I don't like Luke's face anymore. I'm going to put my own face on. And he goes to like mold his own face. And his face was like, obviously just a big lump of clay. And like, he like ripped off a piece of the clay and it was very clearly just like colored clay. And it's only there for like a split second. And the rest of those effects of that scene were great. It was just the one scene where it was very obviously a big chunk of clay stuck on his face and he just pulled it off. It was a low point in an otherwise great FX movie.
Yeah.
That's all
you got?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So how many unseen friends out of 10 do you give this movie?
You know, I really liked it. I'm trying to think of how much I liked it. we'll go 9. I'll give it a 9. 9 unseen friends out of 10.
I agree. 9. Hands down. This is a movie that one of these hidden things that I don't hear really anyone talking about. I've never seen anyone talk about this movie.
No, I've never heard of it before now.
No, because we were doing our research for Imaginary. We're like, okay, what are movies like Imaginary? We find some of our stuff. Danny Isn't Real and Z. And we go, what are these movies?
Yeah, I knew Miles Robbins from Halloween.
Yeah.
That was it. That was the only thing I knew him from. Like, Patrick Schwarzenegger, I knew the name. I don't think I had ever seen anything he was in.
No.
I think this is the first thing I've actually seen with him in it. Again, I just assumed he was nepotism, like he probably sucks. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's how it usually works. But, no, he was actually really great. Yep. So.
Yeah, so, you know, this is, I think, a highly recommend movie for anyone who hasn't seen it. Go out and see it. Watch it. You know, it's fantastic. In the otherwise drab imaginary friend world.
Yeah, agreed.
That we are covering today. All right. So last up, you know, nothing but least, is the 2024 imaginary movie. Cut, copy, paste Z a little bit. You know, essentially, we are introduced to, you know, they're married, right? Actually married.
Yes.
Okay.
She's the stepmom to the girls, but the guy and the lady are married. Yes.
Yeah. So essentially, we find, you know, a stepmom who is kind of trying to be the best stepmom she possibly can be to the girls. And she's able. We find out a little bit of exposition dump that she writes children's books and has won multiple awards for it and was able enough to, you know, good enough to be able to get a house. And she happens to get the house that she grew up in. And, you know, they move in there and they kind of get to, you know, a little bit about the stepmom and the dad, who is a musician, who just goes, okay, I'm out. See ya. I have to go play some gigs.
Yeah. And I think the part was funny where she's like, that's okay. I really need this time with them. That's okay. And then he leaves, and then she immediately goes, can you watch the little one? I got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, well, okay, use that time effectively. No wonder they don't like you.
Right. So, you know, they're moving to her old house, and she has some fond memories of it, you know, but we find out that her dad, you know, it has suffered mental disease, maybe dementia or something, that she visits him, kind of reads his books, but he doesn't really seem to pay much attention to her because he's not really there. We are introduced to the kind of the creepy old lady next door. She's like, I used to watch you. Cool. And then we find out, you know, the douchebag neighbor who wants to give girls, you know, allergy medicine is for to get high. Let's tie that up, loose end up now. But yeah, you know, she's trying to figure out her next book. You know, she's talking to the girl who's probably about 6 and the teenage daughter who's, what, I think 15. And just trying to move in and just do what she can. And, you know, we find that the, you know, little girl finds her way downstairs and she finds a stuffed bear named Chauncey Bear. And she starts playing with them everywhere. And people are like, oh, that's cute. And she's like, oh, hey, let's do these things. Oh, we're having a scavenger hunt. I need something that I can paint with. I need something, you know, to this. You can't see this list. You'll get in trouble. And she starts spraying Chauncey everywhere. And, you know, as things kind of go through, starts, you know, spooky stuff starts happening a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. And so, you know, she's talking to people. And the little girl starts doing weirder things. It's like, oh, I need to do this. Or, you know, I'm having these talks with Chauncey. You know, and she's having tea parties, stuff like that. Well, you also find out that their real mom went insane and somehow escaped and snuck into their house one night. And she thought it was like kind of like an imaginary thing. Like, no, the mom's really there. She's crazy. She's trying to get rid of you. You know, so they call the cops and, you know, that old lady kind of gets involved a little bit more and we get some more, you know, the little old lady is the exposition dump of this movie. Let's face it. And like I said, stuff starts happening and, you know, we kind of find out that, you know, oh, I'm working on the story. I don't know what to do. Oh, you know, maybe the spider, because she wants to write about a spider, needs friends. And starts kind of writing stories off that, talking to the little girl who's doing the world's longest scavenger hunt, I feel. It's only like 4 things on the list, but it's taking like weeks, it feels like, to do. And she's just kind of going about the day, you know, and she's talking to her. She's like, oh, I know you got mad at me. You know, I'm here for your mom. And she's talking because there's a lump underneath the blankets. And she hears the little girl playing outside. Like, wait a minute. It was Chauncey all along under the covers. So kind of what happens next is she goes out to talk to her dad, I believe, and just catch up with them. We get the, you know, oh, you know, CB. It's like, okay, that's weird. Spoiler alert, CB stands for Chauncey Bear.
Oh, gasp. You ruined it. You ruined the whole gasp. Thing.
Gasp. I know, like, no one didn't call that at that moment in time. So they're just kind of going through it. The douchebag next door neighbor kid brings over. It's like, oh, we're going to drink this alcohol and we're going to replace it with apple juice and let's get high. And it's like, nope. And he has some jump scares, you know, with Chauncey Bear. He has a pull string and he kind of have like, oh, he's under the towel, stuff like that. Douchebag proceeds to take a piss, stand up in someone else's house with the door wide open with a little girl around. And then just proceeds to wipe his hands on the towel without washing them to clean up the alcohol. Yeah,
and then leaves the room and then later has the towel in his hands anyway.
Yes. And it's like, oh, the monitor's like, oh, it's like, oh, you're trying to get my, you know, this 15-year-old daughter, Molly? And mom comes, it's like, no, that's my allergy medicine. And then scene over for her.
Yep.
To more bizarre stuff starts kind of happening. And at one point in time, you know, the little girl is going to be, you know, trying to stab her hand through a nail. It's like, oh, this is going to hurt because you have to find something that hurts. And she just kind of nicks the side of her arm, which does come into play later. So anyway, she's like, oh, we found all the stuff. And the little girl's having like a ritual in the crawl space. And then, well, she's not there anymore. So she disappears. They kind of go out. Everyone calls the cops. They start doing searches. No one can find her. And the stepmom and the oldest daughter have a big disagreement about things. And she came to ruin everything. Everything's been bad since she came into their lives. And then here comes the old lady. She's like, yeah, CB. That stands for Chauncey Bear. He was your bear. Don't you remember? Like, what? And they're like, oh, man, we have to find out what. Oh, she must have done a spell. We have to find out what she was using for the ingredients. So like, oh man, this used to be my room. I wrote my scavenger hunt on my wall. Look, here it is.
And right. Then boom. Well, there's one other note I'll add is that she called a child psychologist who came over.
Oh yeah.
To interview the girl to see if she could figure out what was wrong with her. And then at the end of that interview, the stepmom realizes that the bear, she can see the bear and the girl can see the bear, but no one else can see the bear.
Right.
Like the bear is that's when she kind of was like, whoa, that's weird. So then this, when it's like, oh, Chauncey Bear was your bear. Now it makes sense why they can both see it.
Right. Essentially we get the exposition dump. You know, the old woman learned about all imaginary friend lore. And we just get like 10 minutes of her talking about imaginary friends and other cultures.
Right.
And like, I will help you. We're trying to go through this blue door, and they do the spell, you know, something that hurts, something that you love, something that paints, something that sets fire. She sets on fire, nothing happens. Then she does a sick burn on the teenage daughter, and boom, the fire lights up.
Yeah, it's weird that I would think that all of these things would have to be from the person doing the ritual.
Yep.
But apparently not.
No, just a sick
burn. It's a shared experience. Yeah, it's a shared experience.
So they go into the upside down. I mean, the imaginary friend world.
I mean, the Beetlejuice world. Yeah. When they open a door in the wall and go into a bizarrely shaped, you know, fun house. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. They're like, oh, we got to keep the door pried open. And start looking around like, the old lady removed it. Ha, 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 ha. I'm finally here. I could be young forever. What's behind this dark nump? She gets eaten.
Yeah.
And she's dead.
PG-13 death.
yeah, the only death that happens too. And you know, the old daughter like, fuck this. Yeah, there's a big F-bomb for the movie. And they eventually find the little girl, like, oh, she's having tea with her mother, and everything's great in her old apartment, her old room. Like, what? We're in the imaginary world. We can do whatever we want. And let's just start painting blue door and we'll escape that way.
Yeah, they're also taking like blue napkins, and they were somehow magically sticking to the wall. I'm like,
yes, anything blue.
Yeah, it was like magically stuck to the wall. I'm like, yeah. Okay.
So the girls get out. She doesn't, and you know, she kind of goes around. She's like, all right, Chauncey, I'm yours. I'm your friend to the end. It's like, haha, nope. They open the door, and she gets out, and like, oh man, everything's great. We're back. You know, she was, you know, she had stabbed herself through the hand. Like, you don't have to stab yourself through the hand for something to hurt. You can still stab yourself slightly, not all the way through your hands.
Yeah, it didn't really give you a level of hurt required. No. You know? And apparently, if you could just make the hurt be like emotional hurt, like, okay, you obviously don't need to hurt yourself that bad.
Kicking the balls. Yeah. That'll work. Yeah. So you know, she's like at the hospital. Everything seems fine. She's like, oh, the little girl's like, yeah, I love you, mom. She's like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. She doesn't have a cut in her arm. I'm still here. Nope, she is still there. And then the girls still find her and she gets out.
Yeah, and then it's like, yeah, basically just repeat the last 2 minutes again.
Right, because we find out that her dad was in the ritual womb with her and the old lady wasn't. She wanted to be. And the dad went insane because he stared into Chauncey's eyes and was like, went insane.
He looked into the imagination of thousands of children at the same time and his mind couldn't take it.
Yes, that. Yeah.
Too many Barneys and Power Rangers. Exactly. Whatever the hell else the kids are into these days.
Exactly. Definitely Barney and Power Rangers. And she, you know, they
hey, both... man, okay. In 1987, if you would have told me that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles would still be around in 2024, I would have laughed in your face.
Yeah.
So take that.
That's fair. And they took the page out of the last Insidious movie and they painted the door a different color.
Yeah.
They painted it black. And then they go to the hospital. Oh, look, there's a bear. There's a boy with a teddy bear. Like, oh, let's try a different hospital because this has a teddy bear. And so
there's a hotel, sir.
Hotel. Oh. And then the boy's like, look, this is my friend Chauncey. And look, it's still Chauncey. The bear turns into Chauncey. Wah,
wah.
The end. You know, we always have first thoughts and rewatches. I said, we haven't seen any of these movies until this episode. first thoughts was, this is a long movie. It doesn't need to be this long. And it is very typical things. You know, like, yeah, the big twist of, you know, only she can see the bear and the little girl. That was a twist, but like CB being Chauncey Bear was an immediate giveaway. Like, I don't know if they're expecting it to be some surprise twist that we were supposed to be shocked at when they revealed it. I don't know. I don't think so. And the wife calls, she's like, the old lady's going to be evil. And yes, she was. Because, you know, like I go, she's going to be the exposition dump and she's going to be the one that dies. And that's it.
Yep.
What were your first thoughts?
As I watched it after Z, I was like, this is basically the same movie as Z.
Yep.
Only the last 30 minutes are different. That's it. Otherwise, this is the same stupid movie.
Yeah. I absolutely agree. highlights for me. I guess it tried to do something different. I don't think it necessarily worked. But it's just, this was the boogeyman of imaginary friend movies. Let's face it. It really was. And like, you knew, like, I think you were able to clearly predict, like, oh, when she escapes the first time, like, I think we realized that something was wrong before she realized something was wrong when she escaped. And it's just like a thing of inconsequential, like, oh man, this sucks for this 2 minutes, and it immediately gets resolved. I mean, I don't think the stepmoms, was it Sarah? Was her name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think she did bad. I think everyone else was a big caricature of people in these type of movies. I think that's the issue with them. I do like the twist a little bit, but the bear being kind of that thing, but it's just a weird movie. I don't have many highlights, I'll let you.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of, again, I would say that the initial bear twist, you know, where you find out that the psychologist is like, there's no bear there.
Yeah.
Like, that was interesting. I mean, it's I would call it unfair, because there's no way in hell you could have figured that out.
Well, considering we see other people that can't see Chauncey underneath things in the shape of the bear.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, it's unfair to say, oh, you should have noticed this. I mean, it didn't tell you should notice it, but it was like, there's no way you could figure that out. Yeah. But that was at least interesting. Again, I think the only actor that did well in this movie was Gloria, the old lady that did the exposition. I think she was the only one that actually like read the script ahead of time and actually like practiced her character, because everybody else, I'll talk about that in a minute, but I thought she was great. You know, she wasn't in it for very long, but I thought that bear suit at the end, like the big giant monster bear suit, was pretty interesting. I mean, like, it was a real suit. It was also a CGI on top of the suit.
Yeah.
But the actual, the suit looked interesting. I mean, it looked fun.
Yeah.
I mean, the ending, I was like upset when it was like the super happy ending. I was like, oh, come on. But the movie was cheesy enough before that point that I thought that might be the real ending. It started getting a little too cheesy. I was like, okay, now I know it's not there. But like in the beginning of it, I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, this movie, like, but it's this cheesy. I didn't see it coming until later on that, oh no, okay, this is too much cheese. Yeah, this is definitely not real. But I believed it for a while because the movie was just that level of stupid.
You want to roll your low points?
Low points. You know, first I started complaining about the child acting. Because that little girl was horrible.
Yes.
But then I just went into just, no, everybody. Every single person in that movie, with the exception of Gloria, sucked. I mean, every scene, it was like, who's going to suck worse in this scene? Like, it was, they were all horrible. I mean, just horrible characters. I mean, just, oh, man. I mean, if you want to see some bad acting, just watch this movie. It is fucking disgusting. And I will say, I don't know who the hell the fashion designer on that set was, but some of those outfits, I'm like, well, you wear that? You're wearing that outside? What is wrong with you? It was just like these bizarrely like not matching prints. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not a fashion person by any means, but like I know patterns that don't go together. And dear God, what the hell are these people wearing? I felt bad. They felt like fashion victims. Like they went to a thrift store and didn't have a choice. They just got issued clothes or something. It was bizarre. I didn't like it. But I will say the acting far outpaced the bad fashion. The bad acting was just, it was groan-worthy. Almost every scene was terrible. It sucked. What about you?
Oh, yeah, the acting was atrocious. Like I said, I will give it to Z because they knew when to get rid of the child actor. Pretty, you know, doesn't have to be the entire movie. Everyone was bad. I feel like everyone's just trying to upstage each other. And, you know, it. Let's see here. Like I said, the douchebag next door neighbor, you know, just peeing with the door open in someone else's house you just met with little children around. Like, you don't do that. I see that's trying to. I don't know if they're even intentionally trying to convey him being a douchebag or not, but that's how I read it. I'm like, wow, this guy sucks.
Right.
Let's face it, the world's longest scavenger hunt. There's only like four things on the list.
Right. Yeah, it was like nobody ever flipped it over. Like, it was very clearly coloring on both sides. Like, it's bright ass crayon.
Yeah.
I know you can see it.
Yeah. The old lady's turn was just stupid. It really, really was. Like, I can see her being the knowledgeable thing of the imaginary friend world, and agreeing with that, but then it's just to go, hey, you know what? No, I'm evil. I think you should all stay here. No. There's no reason for the... Everyone else could have just left. She got into the world where she wanted to be. She'd be like, all right, peace. You guys can leave. Doesn't matter at this point in time, right? Yeah, the cheese level, like, the ending felt like, let's say, the end of a Full House episode. And when they set the house on fire, which caught flame very quickly, like they immediately leave the house and there's fire trucks pulling up immediately. And the wife goes, the fuck, that would never happen. Why are they there so fast? I'm like, well, they just like, maybe they brought fire trucks. We're looking for the little girl. And they just happened to be right there. I don't know, but it was like immediate. When you learn a little bit more about the scavenger hunt, you go, okay, it's a ritual. It's a spell. Anyone that's seen anything about witchcraft knows you're making ingredients for a spell. And the fact that fire was good enough for the little girl to start the fire and the spell, but no, it had to be a sick burn for the fire to just magically ignite. And you go, okay, whatever. Like, you know, move the flame to the left. Is that level of stupidity for me? Yeah, that's what I got. This is the longest movie. This movie is almost 2 hours long.
Yeah, it was unnecessarily long. I don't know. Like, there wasn't anything else going on. Like,
yeah.
I don't know why they didn't just end it earlier, but they didn't.
Right. And I also think, like I said before, if only they could see the bear, why is the bear taking bear shape under things for people that can't see it? It serves no purpose other than to trick us that twist is coming.
Right.
So, number of unseen friends out of 10. This is a tough one because I'm looking at our scores for Z and I go, is this better or worse than Z? Is it going to be different because of how we viewed it? You watch Z first. I watch Imaginary first and then Z. I have no desire to see this movie ever again. Who? It's 2 unseen friends out of 10. How are you?
Yeah, again, I was very torn between which one I was going to give a lower score, Z or Imaginary. And I would give this one a slightly lower score simply because it did it second. So it didn't even improve on the first. It just went in a dumber direction. So I'll say 1.5.
1.5
Unseen Friends out of 10.
Well, anything else to add for this episode?
Nope.
All right. Well, just when we thought kids could not get any worse after seeing, in air quotes here, their imaginary friends, well, we dive into the world of the son of the devil. As we prepare for the newest Omen, we are going back to the franchise with the first three in the series. So get ready for evil stares, side eyes, and probably heavy drinking. Because from what I remember, the Omen, they're not good. Throwing it out there now. I don't know if you've seen any of them. Have you?
I believe I've seen the first one. But I honestly don't think I've even seen the whole thing. I know I've seen at least most of the first one, but I don't think I've seen any of the other ones at all.
Yeah. So we're preparing it. We're probably going to split up the episode because this is the sixth one that came out. We're probably splitting it off. We're definitely doing two episodes. But we're probably putting something in between them just so we don't get Exorcist out like we did with all those awful movies. And we'll watch Immaculate soon after and determine if Immaculate was the better first Omen or not.
Right.
As everyone seems to think it is. So we'll see. But remember, we watch bad movies, so you don't have to. And this has been Graveyard saying, have you checked on the children?
This is Salem saying, long live the new flesh.
Good night.